I don't know about you, but if I had been at a funeral a few days ago and seen someone in a box lowered into the ground and buried, and then a few days later word began to filter through that that person that I had seen dead and buried was alive again, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't believe it. And if you've been at the funeral as well, and you had seen them in their coffin, dead and buried, you wouldn't believe it either. And isn't it interesting that here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, which Philip read for us earlier in the service, we have the record of Jesus raised from the dead, and no one believed it. Not least his disciples, the very people who knew him most. Verse 11 records Mary Magdalene as first at the empty tomb, telling some close friends who had been with him, and they didn't believe it, the words that she brought. Verse 13 records the two walking out in the country, and when they report that Jesus himself had drawn near and walked along beside them, they didn't believe it either. And verse 14 records the appearance to the 11 disciples, and out of hardness of heart, how they didn't believe the news of Christ's resurrection either. The word that's used there for hardness of heart, the Greek word, is the word that we get sclerosis from. If you have sclerosis of the liver or sclerosis of the arteries, it's a hardening of your liver, a hardening of your arteries. But there's a much more dangerous hardening, and that's a hardening of your heart against the things of God. And these folk, when they hear the news that Jesus is risen from the dead, they harden themselves. This can't be true. Maybe you're here today and you're listening to me and you're saying, I don't get this stuff. I don't want this stuff. I don't believe it. The hardness of heart is set out here in Mark chapter 16. Because remember, Jesus had been crucified. He had been nailed to a tree. Capital punishment in Bible times. As I said to the children, two rich friends had come and laid his body into an empty cave and rolled a stone across. Do you ever think about the fact Jesus Christ didn't have a funeral? Do you ever think about that? He didn't have a funeral because he didn't need a funeral. Because in the third day he was going to be raised from the dead. But it seems to me in the first instance no one believed it. He was dead. The stone was rolled across. End off. That was it. But then Mary Magdalene had gone to the tomb early in the morning to pay her respects, as we would say. And when she was there, she discovered that the tomb was empty. And then there was the encounter with Jesus. And so today I want us to zoom in on Mary Magdalene. She's an interesting woman. And I want us to think about her today and the message of her life and her encounter with the risen Christ. First thing I want to say about Mary Magdalene is that she was a woman with a past. And what a past. Mark tells us here in verse 9 that out of her, Christ had cast seven devils or seven demons. And that's a reference to Luke chapter 8, verse 2, where the same thing is said there as well. Traditionally in church history, she is regarded as a fallen woman. That's where the Magdalene laundries came from, for fallen women, as they were called, which was a funny way to put it because aren't we all fallen? But women were regarded who had children outside of marriage as fallen women, and that's why they called them Magdalene nursery. Some even say Magdalene laundry. Some even say she was a prostitute. That may or may not have been the case. Alternatively, the seven demons could be a reference to false teaching. Paul in 1 Timothy 4 talks about the doctrine of demons. And if we put ourselves under false Bible teaching, we jeopardize our souls. And maybe that's how demons had got access to Mary's life. We don't know. But these seven demons had got in on her and they had mastered her. Seven in the Bible is the number of completion or the number of totality. She was totally mastered by the devil. The devil was all over every aspect of her life. She was owned by the devil. She was monstered by the devil, whatever phrase you want to use. She was a hopeless case. And she carried, no doubt, all sorts of scars in her life. She had been used, she had been abused, until the day she met Jesus Christ. And what a day. We sometimes sing that hymn, don't we? What a day, glorious day. And Jesus Christ had cast out of her life the seven demons. The devil was all powerful in her life. But Jesus Christ was more powerful. Because he is the sovereign Lord. He is the Lord of heaven and he is the Lord of earth. And Jesus Christ had cast out those demons by his superior power. And she had been liberated. She had been cleansed. She had been transformed. She had been forgiven. She had been given a new life. And isn't it appropriate that she is the first one to come to the tomb and to discover that Jesus is alive again? Because whoever has been forgiven much loves much. And Mary loved him. She loved him with all of her heart, with all of her soul, with all of her mind, with all of her strength. For Mary, these just weren't facts you read in a book. Christ had changed her life. I wonder, has he changed your life today? Was there a day you can look back to and say, that was the day when Christ came into my life in a powerful, life-changing way, and I haven't been the same since? Because that is Christian conversion. And that's what he does. And I don't think she forgot her former life. That's why it's mentioned here again, Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. But she had been made a new woman, a new creation. The grace of God had saved her. Christ hadn't written her off, and there is a little word there that we're not to write anybody off. Not to write ourselves off. Because Jesus Christ can transform no matter what mess our lives may be in today. She's a woman with a past. Secondly, she's a woman with a task. For remember, and this is why we're dwelling on her today, she's the first to arrive at the empty tomb to pay her respects. She thinks the tomb is going to be full, but it's an empty tomb. And the angel said to the women at the empty tomb, and we're told in Matthew's gospel, the angel is sitting on top of the rolled back stone. I almost see the angel sitting with his arms folded. Job done. Job done. And the tomb is rolled back. The stone is rolled back from the tomb. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him, just as I have told you." The task of this first disciple, Mary Magdalene, is to go and tell the other disciples who are full of fear, who are full of unbelief, who just don't get it, that Jesus is alive. And to shake themselves out of the sorry state they had gotten themselves into, because if Jesus Christ is alive from the dead, this changes everything. Everything. And I hope you get it today that as we gather on this Easter Sunday morning, we're not gathered around a denomination. whatever denomination, Presbyterians here in this building, your denomination may be Church of Ireland, or it may be Baptist, or it may be some other denomination, but we don't gather around a denomination. Or around a dead founder who lived 100 years ago, or 1,000 years ago, or 2,000 years ago, but today who's as dead as anything. Nor do we gather around a philosophy. We gather around a living Lord. He is alive. And the task that Mary is given is to go and tell others that he is alive. I wonder, did she not feel up to it? Moses didn't feel up to the task he was given by God, tasked to lead the people of God. And he said, "Here I am, Lord, could you not send my brother?" Or Esther, another woman in the Bible, tasked to go into the king, and she said, "I'll go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish." But God was calling her. And Mary Magdalene was called. No one else believed the report, but Mary, you go. I'm tasking you. And I was thinking, maybe some of us here today, maybe we don't feel up to some job we feel God is calling us to. Can I say to you today, you maybe don't feel able for some task, but is the resurrection of Jesus Christ not the only strength you need? You don't go in your own strength, you go in the Lord's strength. As Paul said in Philippians 4, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." You can believe through Christ who gives me strength. You can serve through Christ who gives me strength. You can go and do things for the Lord through Christ who gives me strength. There's a task for Jesus ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. Haste to do his bidding. Yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. Do you ever say, "Lord, what do you want me to do for you?" Sometimes we're just passengers. Lord, what do you want me to do? And who'd have thought a woman out of whom 7 demons had been cast would be tasked with such a significant job? But she was, to witness. Don't write yourself off. Don't let anybody else write you off. If the Lord is tasking you, go and do it for Jesus. A woman with a past, a woman with a task, and lastly, a woman with a future. For notice what Jesus said to her in verse 17 of John 20, which Ruby read for us. He said, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father." Don't hold on to me. In other words, Jesus was saying to her, things have now changed with my resurrection. Things are no longer the same as they were. You're not to expect things to carry on the same way as they have always carried on, but you are to be open. Some of us want things to remain the same all the time. We just want things to always be the same. We fear change. We resist change. But here is Jesus talking about change. Don't hold on to me. You've held on to me in the past. Don't hold on to me now, for I have not yet returned to the Father. As Paul said, forgetting the things which are behind and straining forward towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. There's a future now to head out into with Christ. So forget the past. And Jesus says, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Notice he's careful to distinguish the relationship between his relationship with God and our relationship with God. Remember, he's God's only son. We're only God's sons and daughters by adoption if we're in Christ today. So it's his Father and our Father, his God and our God. And the future is that Jesus is ascending into heaven. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, verse 19, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Everybody wants to be taken up into heaven, don't they? Nobody says, I want to go to hell. Everybody wants to be taken up into heaven. Well, here's your hope of heaven. That as Jesus Christ went up into heaven, all those who are in Christ will go to heaven with him. And we live in a dead and a dying world, but Christ is alive forevermore. He has gone to prepare a place for us, and that's the Christian's hope. That's our future. In the meantime, if he had stayed on earth, he would have just been local. Like when he was in his ministry, he was just in Palestine. If he was on earth today, he would be just in France or just in America or just in Britain, wherever. But now he is global by the power of his Spirit. And that's why he says here, preach the gospel to every creature in all the world. God's people come from every nation, every tribe, every people group, and every language, because wherever they go, the Spirit goes. Some people say, oh, I'd love to see Jesus today. Well, Jesus said, it's for your good that I go away, because now the Spirit comes, and the Spirit's everywhere. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There's the promise. But he that believeth not shall be damned. There's the warning. And in heaven, Jesus reigns. Mary's life is not now on its own, but Jesus, yes, he has gone, but he intercedes, he intervenes, he interweaves the events in her life so that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And even when bad things happen, God has a plan for your life. And the believer lives in faith that Jesus Christ is sovereign. So as I close today, how personal is the message of Christ raised from the dead to you? How personal. For Mary, it was ultra personal. And when she met Jesus at the empty tomb, she said, Rabboni, which means teacher. Teacher. And then when she went to the disciples, she said, I have seen the Lord. I wonder, can you say today, Jesus, you are my teacher. You're teaching me. I'm following you. I'm your disciple. I'm your pupil. And are you a witness to the people around you and you're saying, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. Is he alive in you? Is he your guarantee of eternal life forevermore? Because this woman, Mary Magdalene, from such a past, given such a task, was given a future. And she's an example to you and to me, by faith, what we too might be and what we too might have. Let's pray.